for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2015 Spring Camp Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, April the 4th, 2015, Nikki Pinson is the speaker of this service teaching on Our Confidence.
Well, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to know you're loved. You're loved. This is a good camp to come to bring your family. I bring my grandchildren, some of them. I have 10. I can't bring them all. Some of them, I don't want to change diapers. Praise God. But it's a wonderful place to come to. And the atmosphere is so awesome. And those that listen on the internet, it's different being here. The presence of God.
Amen.
Praise God. So I encourage you to come. A little commercial. Back in the back, I have two books back there the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven that took 2 years to write. I edited a lot of it sitting on a bus going back and forth 500 miles into Mexico. But I was teaching them that yesterday. And it's a good book, In Christ Inwardly. And Sister Carla and Sister Jerry also have books back there. So you're encouraged to look at that. And you can, I'm sure, order them somehow online, and it'll help this camp, praise God, and it'll help you. So that's commercial. Also, to you that are here, if you're not on my mailing list, email list, I'd love to have your email address if you'll just write it down and hand it to me. And give me time to read it, see if I can read it, your writing. And I want to mention this also, the water leak again. It's not their fault it's leaking. And they fixed it. And now it's leaking again. 200 gallons a minute, I believe. An hour, hopefully, that'd be rough, wouldn't it? 200 gallons an hour. And they need to replace the whole water line. So they need funds for that. Praise God. I'm privileged to be here. Let me go back here. I'm learning how to use this, as I told you. Let's see. There we go. Sister Terry's trying to show me some things over before. I was really trying to know what to teach tonight. But I want to teach on confidence, our confidence. I believe that's the will of God. Father, we all fight battles on this. The enemy so comes against our confidence, especially, Lord, when we failed you or missed you in some way. But strengthen our confidence, Father. The devil knows how important our confidence is. To speak, Father, to our hearts tonight in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Now, I want to talk to you about having confidence concerning our position in Christ and in the body or the family of Christ. And the last part, in our position in the body of the family of Christ, because the devil will tell you, you don't have any right to be doing what you're doing. What are you doing here? How did you get here? It's not going to last. I've learned something. I was walking across the bridge there on our church property out to where I stay. And, you know, when God blesses the devil, this is what he tells me. He said, well, this is not going to last, you know, or this is going to happen or that. And I've learned to come back at him with this. No, it's the will of God. It's the will of God. Praise God. And thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Praise God. Now, our having confidence or loss of confidence has a direct bearing on our well-being in every area of our life. In Hebrews 3:6, it says, but Christ as a son over his own house, that means family, whose house or family we are. If we hold fast, that means tightly, firmly tightly, the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope, firm to the end. Firm to the end. To have confidence means to have faith in, to rely upon, to trust in, or have assurance in something or someone. Confidence may be manifested as an undisturbed calm. How confident are you when things come against you or your family or you hear a rumor? You know, I know we're living in the last times, but are you confident that God's going to take care of you?
Amen.
Or it can be manifested as an offensive boastfulness. You've met those people, proud as peacock people. There's a young man that lives right near the church property. And he's a good guy. He's a young teenager. But he struts. I mean, you talk about a proud peacock. I told his daddy. He says, I know. Praise God. But an offensive boastfulness is the wrong kind of confidence. Actually, it's a confidence in the flesh or self-confidence. Devil's a liar. Praise God. Philippians 3:3 says, for we worship God in the Spirit and we rejoice in Christ Jesus and we have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. Now, there's a wrong kind of confidence, and I'm going to give you this example in Numbers 14, verse 37. Now, the children of Israel have got where they spoke to the promised land. Took them about a year to get there, and now they're to go in. Now, Moses sent 12 spies, one from every tribe, the 12 tribes, in to spy out this land over on the other side of the Jordan River. And as you know, 10 of them came back and gave an evil report of the land, said we look like grasshoppers in their sight, the cities are walled up to the heavens, all this kind of garbage, you know, negativity they're spewing out. Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, says they quiet the people. The people, I mean, they're just having to come apart. And they quiet the people and say, if God delights in us, He'll give us that land. You know, that still holds today. If God delights in you and me, He'll give us those things. And also, if we'll delight ourselves in the Lord, He'll give us the desires of our heart. But they would not listen. They would not listen. And so, Scripture says here, let me go back to this. You know, they're going to stone Moses, elect a new leader, go back to Egypt. Why do people want to go back? While I've been here, I had hardly left to come here and stuff starts happening. And we have a ministry there that God's listened to where we receive people. And right now it's mostly homeless. And we think it's going to be this, we think it's going to be that, then we get this person, that person. And this one lady came, and she's in her 40s. And, I mean, she was doing drugs till we brought her there. She's done very well, very well. But however be, you know, take heed when you think you stand, lest you fall. And so she was doing so. As soon as she wanted us to bring her 18-year-old son there, which we did, which probably wasn't a good thing, but she had to see it wasn't a good thing. And I can't go into detail of the problems that happened. So she decides she's going to leave. And so she gets her little dog and her stuff and starts walking down the road. I mean, just walking down the road. And I'm sorry, you know, that she feels that way. That's the devil. That's just the devil. And so she's walking down the road. She came back, praise God. They called me. In fact, she called me and apologized, said, can I come back? She didn't get but about 7 miles. But and so someone brought her back. You know, God loves her. God loves her. Well, they're going to go back. She was going to go back. You know what? You know what? She got to thinking, what is there to go back to? What is there to go back to? And so they're going to go back. And then God intervenes. As you know the story, God intervenes. The glory of God descends. And that is probably... Well, I'm sure it is the only thing that prevents them from carrying their plan through to kill Moses and Aaron and go back to slavery. Go back to have your babies, your little boys thrown to the crocodiles. Go back to the whip on your back. They're going to go back. And so God tells what he's going to do. And they said, well, you brought us out here, our children, to die in this wilderness. He said, well, I tell you what, your children are going to live, but you're going to die. And so we take up here in verse 37, even those men that did bring up the evil report on the land died by the plague before the Lord. Before the Lord. There are some decisions that I have to make back home that look like I made the wrong decision. But things have to be tested. You won't get in heaven unless you're tested. You understand that? Why do we think that we can get in heaven with no kind of testing, no certification, nothing? But you can't even go, you can't get in the military without passing certain requirements. You can't get into a seminary, a college, a university. You can't get a job without taking a drug test. But you're going to go to heaven without a drug test. I mean, and by the way, you're not taking any stuff with you when you go. Well, but we think we're going to get to heaven without being tested. No, we're not. God's going to put us to the test.
Amen.
And you just have to let some things be tested so things can be brought out, see where people are, what they are. God allows that. You know, he left Hezekiah for a time to see what was in his heart. I really don't like that idea. I'd rather God made me live for him. But he's not going to do that. Have you ever heard people, maybe you have said this, you prayed, you asked God to deliver you from something or take something out of your life, and he didn't. And we said, well, God, it's your fault you didn't take it out of my life. And why did you take it out of my life? And why did you make me quit? But we're free more. God has certain principles. I know all things are possible to him. But he limits himself in many things. He limits himself. Look at when the Lord and two angels went to see Abraham in the plain of Mamre. And so we come down to check and see what's going on in Sodom. We want to see. Well, God, don't you know what's going on? But God has a purpose. The Lord goes back, returns to heaven. Those two angels go on over there to see what's going on. God limits himself. And yes, he can know the thoughts of our heart, but just understand he limits himself. So those men that did bring up the evil report on the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. And Moses told these things to all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. But it's not godly sorrow. They don't like what they heard. It's not godly sorrow. You know, my dad, he was very hard on me. And as a child, I would say in my heart, I hate you. I did. I wouldn't say it to his face. That wouldn't be very wise. I see kids now tell their parents, I hate you, and nothing happens. I'm waiting for it to happen like me. You know, nothing happens. I knew what had happened if I told my dad that. But I had that in my heart. It took a lot of healing. It took a lot of healing in that area. That's one reason when I spank my, you have to say spank now, when I spank my children, I always, when I finish, first thing I do this, I ask the Lord how many licks with, you know, how many licks. And because I needed to know that. If you don't know how many, you can go in a rage. Mm-hmm. And you can overdo it. So I thank God for this. You may have things out. I thank God for it. And then when I explained to them when I got to it, I hugged them. I did not want to leave now that bedroom. That's another thing. I always did it in private. But another thing, I did not want them walking out of there hating me like I hated my dad. I did not want that. And I know if you ask any of my three children, they'll tell you that I treated them right in that area. Now, and Moses told these things, they mourned, right? It's worldly sorrow, not godly sorrow. And they rose up early in the morning. Here's how we know. They rose up early in the morning, got them up to the top of the mountain, saying, see, we be here, and we will go up to the place which the Lord has promised, for we have sinned. Now, who's going to do what? First thing God said, no, you're going to turn and go back. And for every, you're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. For 40 years. I believe it's for what? Every day they were over there searching, you're going to wander in the wilderness. But they don't like what he has to say. When God puts you, when you know God is disciplining you, chastening you, I would give you good advice. Don't try to wiggle out of it. Go ahead and let God finish His work. He knows what He's doing. He will not overdo it. And he said He won't allow more to be put on us than what we're able to bear. I know people quote that God won't put more on you than what you're able to bear. And that's a lie. It does not say that. It said He won't allow more to be put on you than what you're able to bear. What an accusation that is. I don't even know if they were realizing they're saying it, but they're accusing God of something He's not doing. Now, so they went up the top. We're going to do this. We have got to get, we've decided this is what we're going to do. Now, we're talking about the wrong kind of confidence here. We're going to do this. It's a wrong confidence. It's a boastful confidence. And Moses said, how now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? It shall not prosper. Of course it's not going to. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you. You know, Moses learned that lesson. He said, God, if you don't go with us, we're not moving from here. If you don't go with us, we're not moving. And so he, you know, and he kind of put God in a difficult situation, you know, but it's okay, God. You may not. God wants us to put him in some difficult situations, in certain situations. You know, he wants us to repeat the promises back to him. He wants us to argue with him on a legal basis. God, this is what you said. This is what you told me, and I based everything on that. Now, God, you've got to keep your word to me. Now, go not up, God's not among you, and you will be smitten before your enemies, for the Amalekites, the Canaanites are there before you. You shall fall by the sword. Because, why? Because you turned away from the Lord, therefore the Lord will not be with you. That's presumption to do when God's not with you. You better know if God's with you and what you're doing. It may be the greatest plan on the earth, but it's going nowhere if God's not with you. Now, when I say nowhere, I know there are churches and ministries that are huge. And I'm going to say something bold, and God's not in 100 miles of the thing. But if you've got enough money, you've got the resources, and you've got whatever. I know of a church back where in our area. The pastor retired after a long time, and the church has $1 million in the bank. They bought prime property on probably one of the biggest freeways in that area. I've got to be careful what I say here. And they bought this property. They have 30 people. They got $1 million in this, I mean, prime property. And they got a sign out there, and now they're just going to get the right man, and he's going to make it all happen. I mean, this was the right man. You got the money, you got the property, you get the right man, it's all going to happen. And I'm waiting for them to say, you know, we're going to ask God, we're going to, you understand what I'm saying? But if you do have the money, you know how, you go to their training, they'll teach you how. You can do a lot of things, but God's not in it. Now, I believe God's here in this place. I had a preacher tell me recently that he has realized that God only sends him in out-of-the-way small places. And he said he's learned now that if it's not an out-of-the-way small place, it can't be God, because God's not sending him to anything else. Praise God. Now, but this is an awesome work here, and I thank God for it. Don't you thank God?
Amen.
So, he said, God's not going to be with you because you've turned away from the Lord, but they presumed to go up to the top of the hill. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, the Canaanites which dwelled in that hill, and smote them, defeated them, even to Horma. Now, self-confidence leaves God out of the formula, which they certainly were doing. Self-confidence is an attitude that expresses, we don't need God. I mean, thank you, Lord, we're going to go do it for you. So what they're doing it for God, but they don't involve God. You understand? Now, they might do this. They make their plan. They dream their dreams. You know, dream big dreams. If you don't dream big dreams, you know, you got to stretch God. You got to dream big dreams. And make your 5-year goals and plans and all this kind of stuff. Praise God. Some of you saw that. Praise God. You dream your big dreams. Well, hallelujah. I'm having a hard time tonight. Now, it's what you're doing for God. Now, Isaiah 9:8, the Lord sent a word unto Jacob, and it was lighted on Israel. And all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitant of Samaria, that say in the pride and stoutness of heart, the bricks are falling down. Some of you read in the Harbinger, you've read this. The bricks are falling down, he uses this passage of scripture. But we will build hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. You know, that's exactly what happened at Ground Zero. You know that. And it's awesome. It's amazing. And this one verse here was quoted by the Joint Congress the day after 9/11. Tom Daschle stood up and read this verse before the whole world. Read it again. The bricks are falling down, but we will build the hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. Also, later, John Edwards read this verse when he was running for office. And then later, our president read it after the collapse of 2008. What they don't realize is this is an indictment against the people of God. It is a rebellion is what it is. Nowhere here do they ask God anything. We, just like those Israelites, we are going to go up and do this. We're at the top of the hill. We're going to go do it. And so here, they're saying, we're going to do this. But there's no repentance. Why is this happening? God's let the hedge down around Israel. And they've been attacked. But it's all controlled, just like 9/11 was very controlled. There's another interesting thing. If you read his second book, The Mystery of the Shemitah, he talks about the towers and how every nation, it started with Babylon when they built the tower. And then these other nations come along and the tower, the higher the tower, the more glory of the nation. For many, many years, the United States had the tallest tower in the world, the Empire State Building. Then they came along with the twin towers. What happened to them? Well, they were knocked down. Now there's several countries with taller towers than we have. What is that saying about our place as a world power? What's that saying? You understand? It's saying something. And so there was actually the stone put there, a hewn stone, when they began to rebuild the new tower. There was a sycamore tree that was broken down by the blast of the fallen towers. They replaced it with a cedar tree. There's so much more that you just have to read that. And you understand, folks, you understand that we're falling right along with the rebellion against God. Now, the Lord, it's a confidence, but it's the wrong confidence. Therefore, the Lord shall set up the adversaries arisen against him and join his enemies together. The Syrians before, the Philistines behind, they shall devour Israel with open mouth. For all this anger, God's anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Oh, my God. Now, nothing's more valuable than our confidence in God. We're not to trust in man, including our own selves, but we should trust in the Lord which resides in a man. Don't trust anyone. You can trust the God in them, but don't trust them. You understand? Trust the God in them if he's in there, but don't trust them. Now, we must not trust in religious objects, formulas, or traditions. You remember how the children of Israel, when Eli was the priest, and they were defeated, they came back and said, we know what's missing. We have to take the ark. We have to take the ark. So they took the ark, and Eli's wicked sons, Hophni and Phinehas, went with them into battle. When the army of Israel saw the ark coming, they shouted with a shout that shook the earth. It shook the earth. This is the wrong kind of confidence. It's a confidence in an object. We can have a confidence in a religious object, the ark of the covenant. We can have confidence in formulas or traditions. Now, they thought the Ark of the Covenant would save them, but they never mentioned a word about repenting and seeking God. Never mentioned a word about it. If you're in trouble tonight, if your church is in trouble, why don't you seek God instead of figuring out what to do yourself? So we know that 30,000 men of Israel were slaughtered that day. They took the ark, and Eli's sons were slain. And then it even carried on from there. When they got back, all the people were, you know, mourning. And Eli, of course, when he heard the news, fell over dead, the high priest. Now, there's the right kind of confidence, Hebrews 3:6. But Christ as a son over his own house or family, whose house or family we are, if we hold fast or tightly the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm till the end. Now, hope produces confidence. Confidence should bring rejoicing rather than fear and anxiety. It should. He said, rejoicing of the hope firm till the end. Let me ask you tonight, do you have confidence? And primarily, do you have confidence in your relationship with God? Do you have confidence in your salvation? The Lord directed me to preach this message for this camp. He did it because I know, because God showed me, I know that there are people here tonight, just as I've been, that some days you feel like you're saved and some days you don't feel like you're saved. And you go by different things. You judge that by different things. And we want to talk about that. How is your confidence tonight in your relationship with God? There are people that have a false confidence, a very foolish, boastful confidence, and they placed it in traditions such as if you walk the aisle, shake the preacher's hand, repeat the prayer, baptize water, whatever it is you're in. And they have a confidence in that. I know that. There's one particular man that when we pick up, we have a food distribution, and when we pick up there, that he's an older gentleman, and he's kind of cocky, and if you talk about any problems coming or anything, he said, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm going to heaven. I've got a home in heaven, you know, and all this, and I want to be careful what I say, but there's no witness of the Spirit with that man. He doesn't show the light that should be there. Do you understand? But he's placing his confidence in something he's been told that if he'll do it, everything's okay. Be careful where you put your confidence. Now, if we fail to hold firmly, if God gives you confidence, I need to say this right now. When I was young, the Lord spoke to me by the Holy Spirit that I was saved. I know he did. If there's one thing I'm sure of in my life, he told me I was saved. If we understand the terminology saved, I know people can make anything out of that. But that I was right with God. I was saved. My relationship was right. I know he told me that. Later on, and I'm gonna get a little ahead here, but he did tell me this. If I didn't quit doing some as I went along, if I didn't quit doing certain things, I was going to lose that. He told me that. I believed him. I knew it was the same voice that told me I was saved. That if I didn't quit doing some things, I would lose it. Praise God. Later on, he told me this thing. He told me I was going to heaven. Are you worried tonight whether you're going to heaven or not? Are you worried if you're saved or not? I hope as we go through this, it will help you in this area of your confidence. It's very important about our confidence. Now, if we fail to hold firmly and maintain our confidence in the Lord and in His Word, and our confidence that the Lord is working in us and for us, if we hold confidence, our faith in our place in the Lord, then certainly we will not lose our rejoicing. I can rejoice tonight because I know I'm saved. I know I am. I can rejoice because I know that I'm going to heaven. Because he told me that. If he ever told me anything, he told me that. Now, I said to you that the Holy Spirit spoke to me, if I didn't quit doing some things, I'd lose it. Thank God he didn't cut me off the first time I did that. It's meant more than one thing. I mean, if you think I'm an angel up here or something...
We don't.
Neither are you.
That's right. Come on.
Hey, we're all struggling. Come on now.
That's right.
Just about the time you think you got all your ducks in a row, someone will get out of line.
That's right.
Take heed when you think you stand, lest you fall.
Right.
You know, sometimes your greatest tests come after your greatest blessings.
Yeah.
I mean, you go to church and just get blessed out of your socks. I've seen this happen now, I'm telling you. Before they get out the door of the church, the devil has already hit them.
That's right.
And they lost it. I mean, lost it. So be careful. I can tell you a lot there. Of my own life, but you don't need to know that. It's information you don't need to know. Now, how long must we hold our confidence in the Lord? It says all the way until the end, till the day of the Lord. Now, our confidence is in the hope. The hope. And what is our hope? Romans 15:13, hope is, it says it's through the power of the Holy Ghost. That's where our hope comes through. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 15:19, our hope is in Christ. Galatians, not in figuring out something, folks. I don't care if it's your job, if it's how to fix the plumbing in your house, how to fix your car, how to fix a relationship. Your confidence has to be in the Lord. And until it's settled there, you're going to be eat up, you know, with all kinds of emotions. Galatians 5:5, through the Spirit we wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Well, actually that's saying the same thing, for Christ is made unto us righteousness. So our hope is in Christ. Ephesians 2:12, if we are without Christ, we have no hope. Titus 3:7, it is the hope of eternal life. So if we're talking about confidence tonight, and where should our confidence be, and not let go of it, but hold it tight, he's talking about our confidence in Christ. Not in our ability to chase the devil, to kick him out of somewhere, to go in his camp and take back what he stole from us, or any of that kind of thing. Thank God if you know, if God's given that to you. I'll tell you this, just because he gave it to your neighbor doesn't mean he gave it to you.
Amen.
Just because he spoke to you something doesn't mean it's the same for them. It could be. We're all different. I'll say something about this camp and anywhere where the true body of Christ is operating. None of us know everything. I certainly don't. None of us have it all. We are a body. It's not all a foot or all a hand or all a eye. We need what this speaker says, that speaker says, this person. We need all that. And it all doesn't come from behind this pulpit either. Praise God. Now, this confidence of hope is grounded in what the Lord is doing in us. Hear this. Not what he's doing through us or for us. And the for would have to be qualified there. But it's our confidence, our hope, must not be grounded in what God is doing through us. They'll knock and say, Lord, Lord, we cast out devils in your name. We worked miracles. We ate your presence. He'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. So don't put your confidence in what you're doing for God. Your works. Don't put your confidence in that. Oh, my. Now, if we lose that confidence, then we'll find ourselves in a state of fear, of confusion, discouragement, perhaps even depression, and shame. Listen, I know people that they try to put on an outward appearance of having confidence, but inside they're so scared. Inside they're so unsure of their standing with God, their relationship with God. They may be singing in the choir. They may be preaching behind the pulpit. But they're not sure. That's a terrible place to be.
Yeah.
There are some that actually believe you can't know if you're saved till the end of your life. I guess till you get to the pearly gates and talk to Peter about it. You know, I don't know. But they don't know. I want to say, this is a bold statement. I don't want to discourage anyone. Please, I'm not trying to do that. But if you don't know you're saved tonight, you're probably not saved.
Amen.
If you don't know if you feel the Holy Ghost or not, you're probably not filled the Holy Ghost. If you're saved, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is going to witness to you. It's in Romans 8, it's very plain. He bears witness with us that we're the children of God. If you don't have that witness, get it. Oh, we're so lax on our spiritual well-being. We're so lax. I tell you, we can have a little pain somewhere and take better care of that pain and investigate it and do something about it more than we do about our own soul. Now, and what is the Lord doing in us? Philippians 1:6, oh, praise God. Being confident of this very thing. We're talking about confidence. That he which has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. When we're talking about confidence, we're talking about our hope in Christ, but we're talking about what he's doing in us. What he's doing in us. Let me tell you this, and this may hurt your feelings, I don't know. But nobody's getting into heaven that's not like Christ.
Amen.
I don't care who you are. I don't care. It doesn't matter what you've done. No one's getting to heaven unless they're like Christ. I can give you the scripture, but in Revelation he said, the book will be open, the book of life, that is Christ, what he is. The books will be open, which it plainly says are the deeds of during our life. They will be compared. If our name is not found written in the book of life, now some people think that means God writes your name down there and he's got to flip through the pages, alphabetical or whatever, and see if he can find your name. That's not, name means likeness or character. And if your deeds are not in the likeness and character of him, you're out. Read the rest of it. They cast them in the lake of fire. You're not going to heaven unless you're like Christ. You can stand on all that tradition your church has taught you or grandma taught you or whoever. It is so silly. But really it's not silly because it's so serious. He saved us that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. He saved us that we become like Christ. That Christ be formed in us. That we grow up into Christ in all things. I tell you, that's not happening. What is happening in you then? What are you doing if that's not happening? Get off this world stuff and your own self and building up your 401k and all that. And examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. Of course, you can make that say anything you want to say. That's the problem. People take the scripture and make it say all kinds of things. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, it's not finished, will perform it in the day of Jesus Christ. That's an awesome promise, isn't it? Now, it's him doing it, not us. We cannot make ourselves like Christ. You know, there are books written about the imitation of Christ, and you're out there and you're just trying to imitate him. And the bracelet, what would Jesus do, and all that. You can't do it. Try it. It won't work. Oh, really, don't try it. Only the Holy Spirit can. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, he says, we're changed in the same image as we behold him as by the Spirit of the Lord, from revelation to revelation, glory to glory. Now, what are we confident about? Are we confident about our job, our strength, our education, our friends, the government, our religious service, the good things that we do? I know I'm going to heaven. You know, I've told this here. I preached a funeral for, I never met the man. I just knew he was a painter and he was single. I don't know what happened. If he had a family or what. I don't remember that part. We got down, it was a graveside service. There was a huge crowd out there. And so, he never went to church, so I figured, well, St. Peter probably going to let him in, so I left that alone. And I just preached a salvation sermon. You know I don't believe in St. Peter thing, though. You do. You know that, don't you? Okay. So, I preached just about Jesus. You know, that's all we're supposed to preach. Paul said, I can turn to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ, him crucified, that'll cover everything. And so I just preached, and when I got through, the funeral director, bless his heart, he just didn't think I did a very good job. Probably didn't think I did it at all. I didn't get him in heaven. So he got up there, and he said, well, he finished up for me. I never had this happen before. And I had one tell me how many songs we could sing and all that. I just went ahead and did what I thought we ought to do. We're paying him. He's not paying us. And so he said, well, brother, whatever his name was, I know he's in heaven. He painted the funeral home. I thought, that's so, we better all find a funeral home and get the thing. I had another man one time, we were at Galveston Island, and the kids were out there, and I don't care about that stuff anymore, you know, but they're out there, so I don't get sunburned. They're out there, and I'm sitting in the van where I could kind of see them, and I'm reading, and I had the door, and guy comes along, says, you got to, I think he wanted $5, I don't know what he wanted. And so he said, and I said, well, first I got to ask you a question, are you saved? He said, oh, yes. He said, I used to smoke 5 packs a day, and I've got it down to 3 now. That was his confidence. That was his confidence. Praise God. I don't know, what's yours? What is yours? Well, the preacher told me I was saved. The one on TV, you know, when you repeat this prayer, you get through, he said, now, if you mean it from your heart, you're saved. I know there's a starting point, folks. I know that. But after a few weeks, months, there better be some progress in becoming like Christ. Now, we have to get in somewhere. What are you confident about? Your profession of faith, your set of values? The Lord has begun to perform a work in us. He's begun to do it. It's not we ourselves that's performing this good work, but it's the Lord. How long will the Lord perform this good work in us? Well, now here's something you need to be able to tell the devil. Because the devil will tell you, you messed up, it's over with. Oh, really? See, don't let the devil be your spiritual guide or your judge. He has no business doing it. He'll tell you, he'll point, and it's not hard for him. All he's got to do is watch this a little while. You did this, you did that, it's over for you. And there goes your confidence right out of the window. Well, you still try to go to church, sing in the choir, try to have a smile, greet people, act like you're part of them, but you know, oh man, if they knew, you know. Now, it's until the day of Jesus Christ. Romans 8:20, this is very important, because this deals with deliverance. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, what is the good work that God has begun in us? Let me say this. We can come here, and we can get rid of this and get rid of that. Okay? And it's good. However, if this work of God's not being worked in our lives, all we're doing is cutting off this limb, and you know what happened. You just watch a tree. We've got an orchard there, pretty good size, and I went out to see how many of them survived the winter, you know. And so, have you ever noticed if the tree dies up here to put out some shoots and you never saw anything grow so fast? I'm saying you cut off this limb, that limb over there it'll take off and go. And so you got this under control, is that you put the lid on that, but then it's going to pop off over here. It has to be a work of God in us, a complete work of God. We're complete in Christ. Now, the good that God's going to work in us is to conform us to the image of the Son. That's what He said, conform the image of His Son. It is to be for us to be one with Jesus and one with the Father. One with the Lord Jesus and one with the Father. In John 17:20, here's what salvation is right here. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. If we're not becoming one with Him, not Him one with us, but us one with Him, He's not going to do the changing. The changing has to be with us. If we're not becoming one with Him, we're out. Sorry. But we're out. I'm really sorry. But we're out. John 8:31. And Jesus said to those Jews which believed on Him, we're talking here still about deliverance, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, to continue in His word means to live according to His word. This does not mean that by obtaining certain information that will be made free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Oh, if I can just know certain things, I'll be set free. Please stay with me on this. If I can just know this information, I'll be set free. The word know means to set, to bring, or to join together. The word know, that's translated here, was a Jewish idiom for sexual relations between a man and a woman, which means they became one. You shall know the truth. You shall become one with the truth. And the truth, who is Christ, shall set you free. It's not knowing information, folks. You know, I read this book, I read that book, I went to this seminar, I listened to this, I got this tape, I did this, I did that. No, it's become one with Him. I tell you, if there were no books to read, no seminars to go to, you could be set free if you become one with Him. Because if you're one with Him, you're not going to do those things you're trying to be set free from. It's not going to happen in your life. It can't happen in your life. I don't know if I have it here. I don't think I do. But He said His seed remains in Him. It may be later in this message. His seed remains in Him and He cannot sin. He can't sin. Wouldn't you like to get to that place? I can't sin. Well, where do you get that confidence? Because I'm one with Him. Praise God. Now Matthew 19:5, and said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall join to his wife, they two shall be one flesh. Wherefore there are no more two but one. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. 1 Corinthians 6:16, what know you not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two said he shall become one flesh, but he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. So we see that to know the truth, which is Christ, means to become joined into one with truth, which is Christ. Therefore, the way to freedom, folks, to deliverance, is to become one with Christ, not just learn some information. Thank God for the truth being preached. You know, thank God for that. But it's becoming one with Him. It's the same with being led by the Holy Spirit. John 10:4. And when He puts forth, this is the shepherd, the good shepherd, His own sheep, He goes before, He's not leading, He's only leading His own sheep. He goes before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. And the stranger they will not follow, but will flee from Him, for they know not the voice of the strangers. What is this saying? Now many are confused, and they're let me say this. That it's the same word, know His voice. They are one with His voice, but they're not one with the stranger's voice. We have to become one with His voice. I tell you, it can become so real. This can be such a reality in our life that we're moving with Him. We're actually moving with Him. He moves, we move. We're one with Him. It's not that we move and He moves. But He moves, we move with Him. We're one with Him. You know, I don't know if this fits, but I feel prompted to say it. Sometimes, certainly not all the time, but sometimes when I'm praying for people, and I'm going down the prayer line, as fast as I go from one to the next, the Lord, but almost by the time I get the next, the Lord's already given me a word for Him. It's just being one with Him. I can't claim anything. It's being one with Him. When we lay hands on people and pray for them, I tell you, nothing's going to happen unless we're one with Him. Peter said, such as I have, I give unto you. What does Peter have? Well, he doesn't have this spiritual arsenal of power or something. It is, but it isn't. What does he have? I'm one with Christ, and I give you Him, and He's the healer. Such as I have, I give unto you. Praise God. And the man had never walked, leaped through the temple. Now, many are confused or undecided, therefore they're seeking out someone or something to tell them what they think they need to know. What they think they need to know. If they don't like what you told them, they'll hunt someone else. I know I've had them call me. I don't even know who they're calling me up. Well, what do you think about this, Brother Pinson? They're looking for someone to agree with so they can do what they're wanting to do. Many Christians are looking for a prophet to guide them, and the Lord does do that at times. But folks, there may come a day there's not a prophet around, you know, close proximity, and you need one right now. But the answer is that we ourselves come to know the shepherd's voice. But what does it mean to know the shepherd's voice? It's to be joined to the shepherd and become one with him. Then the guidance is always with us and readily available. I tell you, there are sheep and there are shepherd relationships, sheep and shepherd relationships, that it's like they can anticipate his next move. Or they've watched, you know, they know, they just know when he's going to move. And I tell you, you can come to a place when you know this is what God's going to do. You know, the Holy Spirit shows things to come, but you know, you're just that close to Him. You're one with Him. How's that tonight? I just need to ask all of us, how is that tonight? Now, sin destroys confidence. True confidence is based on oneness with Christ, total oneness. Not just a likeness or similarity in some areas that we feel comfortable about. You know, that we feel comfortable about. We're going to read the Bible, pick and choose, and avoid this over there. 1 John 1:5, and this is the message that we've heard of Him declare to you, that God is light, is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He's in the light, not what we think's light, but as He's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. I'll tell you tonight, if we're not walking in the light, then our sins are not forgiven. I don't care what kind of prayers we pray. You know, He said that if we regard iniquity in our heart, He will not hear us. And just because we prayed some prayers doesn't mean He heard us. Just because we come in and do some kind of worship doesn't mean He receives it. The only worship He's going to receive is a worship that's one with Him. Really, what we need to say is if the Holy Spirit is worshiping through us. You know, I don't know. I don't want to offend anyone, but if I do, forgive me. But I'm not trying to. I grew up at a time when I saw people dance in the Spirit. I knew what that was. The first time I saw on Oral Rock's first place, the time I was on his program, these young people at their hall dancing together, you know, and everybody's moving together and they're doing this and they're calling it dancing, I don't know, dancing before the Lord, dancing in the Spirit or something. I tell you what, I thought it was just right along there with strange fires what it was. Why do I want to do that when I have done the real thing? I mean, I have danced in the Spirit. I know what it is, and that's not it. But that's really oneness with Him, you know. That is. How many of you have seen those old sisters? I've seen men. One time I was at a church preaching in Greenville, Texas, and I was preaching this 90-something-year-old man. And I went by and laid hands on him. And he's a little old girl, and he dances, but I mean, he got with it. It killed me to dance like his dancing. And I wasn't near as old as him. Well, I went on by, and he's kind of resting. And I'm not trying to do anything, I'm not trying to kill him. But the Lord said, pray for him again. I pray for him again, that he's there with again, praise God. You know why he could do that? He's one with the Lord. It's the Lord dancing through him. It's the Holy Ghost dancing through him. It better be the Holy Ghost talking through us. Jesus said, I do not say a word my Father does not tell me to say. I do not do anything that I don't see Him doing. That's oneness, folks. It's oneness. We wouldn't have all these denominations if we were all one with Him. We wouldn't. In the church I pastor, we don't have business meetings. And you just want to create problems and have those business meetings. One time, Darren Peerless says, some people crossed the road. Now, they didn't come to our church. They went to the other church. But they didn't come to our church. But I'll tell you what, when they got sick, you know who they called? That's right. They called me. One time that lady lied on me and told some people in the community she lied. Now, I don't know if I have time to tell all that, but she lied. Well, I found out about it and I told her husband at the little station, gas station was there then. We don't have a gas station anymore, but I told him, and he said, he knew that wasn't right. Because he's the one that did what she said I did. He knew that. Well, in a few days, he's called, Brother Pence, will you come over and pray for her? I'm not going to name her name. They're both gone now. Will you come? She can't sleep. She's about to have a nervous breakdown. I knew why. So I went over there and prayed for her. But one time they're going to have their monthly business meeting. And the man was telling me, oh, we're ready for them. We're ready. We're going to get them tonight. You know, well, anyway, why was I telling you all that? But I don't think that's oneness with Christ. This is why I was telling you. We don't have business meetings. Why do you need to have a business meeting? If we're all one with Christ, we just know. I'll tell you, there's just the knowing what we need to do. And there's consensus on it, praise God. You can come to that place. Hallelujah. It can work in your marriage. It can work in your family. It can work on your job. if you have enough people of God there, I guess. Now, fellowship with Christ is impossible without oneness with Him. Not His changing to be in our image, but our change being changed in the same image as Christ. Sin, or darkness, always is a deterrent and a hindrance to one with Christ. You know that. How can two walk together unless they be in agreement? Therefore sin destroys our confidence. Romans 8:38, for I am persuaded that neither life, nor death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Now in this list, you might have to read it over. In this list of circumstances and things and agents of darkness, which includes demons and demonic ministries such as witches that we heard about, in these things, they cannot separate us from Christ. But something can, and it's sin. It is not listed. Sin is not listed there. Sin will separate us from God, and we know that. Now, you're welcome to believe whatever you want to believe, but this is what the Lord taught me. We must not, I'm going to move in a different area here. We must not lose our confidence every time we fail. We must not lose our confidence every time we fail. Hebrews 6:4, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift, that's the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come, tasted the good word of God. I went one time, I was visiting an older preacher in Oklahoma, and he just walked around. That God had showed him something in the Word that morning. And in John 6, it says, and they asked him, what's the work of God that we may do? And he said, this is the work of God, that you believe on His Son, whom He has sent. That's simple, isn't it? And this man is just like, he's walking around like this. He was there, but he wasn't there. He was in heavenly places with Christ. He had tasted that word that morning. And I never got away from that impression. I never got away from that. You know, the word of God was more important to him than his necessary food. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I want to come to that place. I've been there a few times where the word actually did that in me and for me. It is possible, folks. Now, we must not lose our confidence so every time we fail. Now, if it is impossible that they fall away to renew them again to repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to open shame. Do these scriptures mean that if we fail, it'd be impossible for us to get back to God? Is that what it means? You know, when I was a boy, I used to get saved every Sunday night. Every Sunday night I got saved. Do we need to continually get saved? Or are we still saved in spite of our failures? We're talking about having confidence in Christ, in our hope in Christ. I'm in no way condoning failure or sin. Peter denied the Lord. Does that mean that he was eternally damned? No. He wasn't, because he repented in faith. Praise God. You know, the Lord said, when the Lord was warning him, he said, Satan has desired to have you made sift you as wheat, but I pray for you that your faith fail not. Your faith fail. You may fail, but don't let your faith fail. Don't let your faith fail. Praise God. Now, he said, and when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. I want you to notice this when you're converted. What does this mean when you're converted? It means this. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we've not sinned, we make Him a liar and that His word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you that you sin not. And if any man does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So what do we do if we fail? Lose our confidence? No. We confess that sin. We confess that sin. Praise God. And He's faithful and just to cleanse us from, forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is amazing that the unrighteous have an advocate with the righteous. We don't have to lose our confidence. Oh, His mercy. We don't have to lose our confidence just because we failed or we sinned. Sinning does not have to progress into falling away. And therefore, it's not necessarily the same thing. Peter's failure caused him to lose confidence in his salvation. You know he did. He went back to fishing. And he responded by doing that. Back to his old career that the Lord had called him out of. Now I want you to hear this. John 21:3. Simon Peter said to them, I go fishing. They said to him, six others apostles, we also go with you. He's leading them in his discouragement. They went forth, they entered into a ship immediately. That night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any meat? And they answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. Now this is our Lord. You know what most of us would have done? We'd have just said, well, go to hell then. That's the way you want to act? Through with you. He goes out there, and they're in rebellion, folks. They're in rebellion. They're going back to what he called them out of, and sure they didn't catch any fish. They ought not to catch any fish.
Amen.
But what does the Lord do? Cast your net on the other side. Praise God, they were not able to draw it in. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, said to Peter, it's the Lord. Now when Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his girded his fisher's coat to him and cast himself to the sea. The other disciples came in a little boat. They were not far from land. Dragging the net with fishes, as soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on there and bread. Not only did he let them catch fish when they were in rebellion, he's got breakfast ready for them. Don't lose your confidence. You know where that comes from. It's the devil, the accuser of the brethren, to condemn us. I'm not advocating sin. But I found out one thing, folks. He's very merciful if we will repent.
Amen.
You know, I remember one time I was years ago, I had failed God. I had failed God. I mean, I had failed Him. And so I had repented. I prayed. I wept. I cried. But I felt so unworthy. You know what? I've told the church many times. If every time I messed up, I couldn't preach you, we'd have to have a lot of extra preachers around here because it'd be the same for them. And maybe we could find one on Sunday morning that didn't mess up so he could preach to us. When I was young, my sisters and I sang in a trio. We made a record. We sang on TV a little bit. I don't want to misrepresent this. And on radio. But I knew better than to get up and sing without having repented of everything. That kept me. I knew better. I don't know. Other people might want to do it, but I knew better. And so, but praise God. So if we'll confess, if we'll make it right, He forgives. Oh, hallelujah. He forgives. Now, then He's going to talk to Peter. And they counted, there was 153 great fish, but the nets didn't break. That was a miracle. He said, come and dine. And then Jesus came, took bread, and he gave it to them, fish likewise. Now, this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to disciples after he was risen from the dead. So when they've dined, he's going to get down to business. Jesus said to Peter, he's the ringleader that talked them into going. But Peter needs help. Peter's under condemnation. Peter has lost his confidence in his call, in his relationship with Jesus. He's so disturbed over this. And I want to tell you, that's not exactly bad. It's not exactly bad because, look at it this way. When you fail God and you feel so bad about it, someone could ask you the question, did you feel bad before? No, I really didn't. Well, then that says something that's happening in your life. Now, Jesus said, Peter, do you love me more than these? He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my sheep. He said to him again the second time, same thing. Third time, same thing, basically. He asked him, do you love me? Now, our confidence must be measured by only one thing. Hear this. Do I still love Jesus? When you have failed, do I still love Jesus? He said, do you love me? He came to rescue that man and based it all on this. Do you love me? Our confidence must not be measured by our performance. I know at the end he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, I'll make you rule over many. But we're talking about in this process, as we go along toward that day of judgment. Our confidence must be that since I still love Jesus, that even though I failed Him, I can remain confident of this very thing, that He which has begun a good work in me will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. That's where our confidence has to be. He has begun this work in me, and He promised He'd finish it. He knew you were going to fail, and how many times, how big, where, and what, before you ever did. Praise God. Now, sin causes us to lose our confidence. Our faith, it makes grace grow, or work. But confidence will restore our communion with the Holy Spirit. Repentance will restore our communion with the Holy Spirit and there also in His presence. Psalm 51 is about repentance, but it's also about confidence. You read what He said. Wash me and I'll be clean. Purge me with hyssop. Let me hear joy and gladness. And the bones that you've broken, that they may rejoice. Hide your face from my sin. Blot out all my iniquities. I think it takes faith to pray like this. I have lived in Psalm 51, the psalm of repentance. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. I tell you, if you don't have confidence, you won't even go back and repent. You'll think there's no hope, and the devil will tell you that. I just believe in my heart that was Judas's problem. See, Jesus prayed, I pray for you that your faith fail not. Faith what? Confidence. That you know me, you can come back to me, you know I'll fix this thing. But Judas had no faith. He returned the money, he repented he repented greater in a sense than Peter did. Peter didn't go back and tell them people, I was wrong, you know, I lied to you, I cussed and all this, but I really know. He didn't go back and do that. But Judas took the money back and said, I betrayed innocent blood. But he still went out and hung himself. Why? Because he lost his confidence. Don't lose your confidence. The Lord, I know if He prayed for Peter, He's praying for you and me that your faith fail not. You're going to fail me. Oh, no, I'm not. Hallelujah. He said, cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me with your free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Not necessarily converted to the church or religious service. Now, isn't this what the Lord said to Peter? When you're converted, strengthen your brethren. Same thing. Same thing that David's talking about here. He said, deliver me from the guilt, not just the feeling of being guilty, but the guilt of bloodshed. Oh God, you guided my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. Here's the unrighteous, have an advocate with the righteous. I will sing aloud of your righteousness. Oh Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you desire not sacrifice, else will I give it. You do not delight not in burnt offerings. Oh, people, you know they fail. They're going to do this sacrifice thing. Get out their Bible and start reading it. Don't miss a church service until it all blows over, and then where'd they go? I know that. You know, after 9/11, man, our attendance almost doubled for about 2 weeks. We didn't do as good as some others did. Now, here's something. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, oh God, you will not despise. Nobody's going to heaven without a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You say, well, you just said something else that you had to do to go to heaven, be like Jesus. Well, that is being like Him. That is being like Him. A broken and spirit and a contrite heart will obtain true confidence in the Lord. But a proud spirit will express a wrong confidence, as with the children of Israel, when they presume to go up and capture the land of promise after that God had revoked that promise to that generation. Praise God. Now, Hebrews 10:26 talks about if we sin willfully, after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means if we sin willfully, if I can express it this way, I do believe that the blood of Jesus covers sins that I don't realize I'm doing. You may disagree with me. I believe it does. Else, how are we going to make heaven? Would you say that when we die, that everything's going to be exposed and taken care of? No, I would believe that when we die, there's still some things that God would have worked out in our life had we lived longer. Okay? But the blood of Jesus, I believe, if we're walking with Him in the life, season of life, I believe that His blood covers those things we don't know anything about. But if we willfully sin, we have to go back and repent, confess, come back around that way. You understand what He's saying? Don't lose your confidence. Don't lose your confidence. Praise God. And in Philippians 3:15, He says, if we're otherwise minded, God will reveal this, even this to us. That's a wonderful promise. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I want to look here because I'm not going to be able to finish all this. You might not be tired, but I am. Praise God. We've said enough. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Accuser of the brethren. I want to read that. Revelation 12:10. What does it say? Accuses us day and night before God. Don't let Him be your judge.
Sure.
Now I want to tell you some things that help our confidence, and then I'll close this. One thing is when God confirms us, that'll help our confidence, either with physical or prophetic signs. Psalm 68:9. You, O God, did send a plentiful rain whereby you did confirm your inheritance when it was weary. Physical sign, confirming them, their confidence. Our confidence is helped by His chastening. If He doesn't chasten us, we're not even His son, He said.
Amen.
Right? So if you're being chastened, that should help your confidence. Praise God. I remember one of the Wesley brothers, he was going on horseback preaching in the circuit. And it came to him, nobody has thrown anything at me lately. Something's wrong. I'm telling you, this is in his biography. He got off his horse and got down and began to weep and cry and repent. And so he's repenting. After a little while, he feels a rock hit his head. He jumps up and praises God, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. He gets back on his horse and goes. That's true, that's true. So our confidence is helped by His chastening. Our confidence is also, He said, beware when all men think well of you. You know, when people start talking well, we better run the other direction. Our confidence is helped by the comfort, presence, and witness of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. Our confidence must never rest on our works, our own assessment of ourselves, our own assessment. You know, because the apostle said, we don't compare ourselves with others. That's foolishness. We don't commend ourselves. We cannot do that. And we can't go by the accusations of the accuser of the brethren or when others accuse us. And I had a lady one time, I was working in a grocery store, and she got mad at me because I wouldn't do something I wasn't supposed to do, but she wanted me to do it. And so I was break time, I was checking out to get something to go back on break, and she stood there, and her jaw was a quivering. I'll never forget that. Her jaw was a quivering. She said, and you call yourself a Christian. I don't remember if it was a Christian or a preacher, either way, you call yourself. Anybody ever told you that? You know what I thought about? Helping that quivering jaw. But I didn't. Praise God. You can't go by what others say about you. Ephesians 3:12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. God's faith will help you. He that hath begun a good work in you. Hebrews 3:14, we're made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Hebrews 10:35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. When it seems, if you read that context, when it seems like that things are not happening like the Lord said they'd happen, well, the devil's got so many ways to chisel away at our confidence. Just, if he can break our confidence, he can defeat us. He can. You'll give up. He'll tell you, what's the use? You can't overcome this. You'll never get deliverance. What's the use? You need to quit. Has he ever told you that? He's told me that. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense and reward. And in this last verse, 1 John 2:20, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. All we need, don't just stand with me. We need confidence, don't we? We need his confidence. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you don't know from one day that, if you don't, today you feel like you're saved, tomorrow you don't feel like you're saved. Usually that's because of something that's happened. Right? And we don't feel saved. But again, we can't judge it on our performance. Hallelujah, hallelujah, in that area. I realize that a lot of what I said tonight can be twisted and construed if you want to. Anybody wants to. But if the Holy Spirit will reveal it and open your heart, you won't have a problem with it. I don't think you will. Lord, we need confidence. We don't want to cast away our confidence. We want to be confident that you have begun a good work in us and you perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Oh God, how many have walked away because they lost their confidence? Like Peter went back to fishing. How many, Lord, how many? Oh Jesus, Jesus, Lord. Lord, I want you to help the young people in here tonight. It's just like the drug pushers and the tobacco pushers and the pornography pushers take advantage of their youth. So does the enemy of their soul. Say that I have met people that gave up because they believed the lie of the devil. They lost their confidence. That hurts. That liar, he is such a liar. Praise God, praise God. Thank you. Lord, help our confidence tonight. If you are here hearing this, or if you're up hearing it on the internet, and the devil's done a number on your confidence, why don't you just ask the Lord to come and restore your faith? If you need to repent, confess, and do it, by all means do it. Let me say, God's for you. He's for you making heaven. He may not be and is not perhaps for some of the things you're doing and thinking and maybe saying, but he's for you. His mercy endures forever. His mercy is new every morning. David Wilkerson said, as long as you get up one more time than you fail, you'll make it. As long as you get up one more time than you fail, you'll make it. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Spirit of God, come in this place. Holy Spirit, manifest yourself. You are here. Manifest your presence, Lord. Touch these sweet, precious hearts tonight. Love them, Lord. Put your arms around them and love them, Lord. Shed your love abroad in their heart by the Holy Ghost. Comfort our hearts tonight, Holy Spirit. We're battle-weary. We've been contending against these things. It's not been easy, but we don't want to lose our confidence, Lord. Praise God. You've begun a good work in this. You will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Now, if you'd like prayer tonight, whatever it's for, if you want to come and stand, we'll pray for you and believe God with you. I don't believe we can get enough prayer, but if you feel led to come, you come. Praise God. We'll be glad to minister to you. See, we should minister the Word, but we also have to minister the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the Spirit. Jesus did both of them. He taught, but he also laid hands on them. Sometimes he laid hands on them first, then taught. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Praise God. Lord, keep us tonight. Give us a good night of rest. Let us rise up in the morning with confidence in our heart. Praise God. In our God, not in ourselves, but in you, Lord. Bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.